Leviticus 14. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be right up here. Leviticus chapter 14. I stole the title, by the way, for today's message from Jesus. If you're going to steal from anybody, steal from Jesus, right? Jesus is the great physician, isn't he? So I'm asking the question, do you know the great physician? And this is not just for people who haven't put their faith in Christ, but this is for all of us, in that something can become so routine that we lose sight of the awesomeness of who Jesus is. Now, I'm going to reveal my age in a little bit. When I was young, doctors still made house calls. How many of you remember that? Doctors still made house calls when I was young. If you weren't feeling well, you know, you call the doctor and he would come with his little black bag. And the doc is here this morning. Come with his little black bag, you know, and examine you. And after he conducts some tests, sometimes lab work and all, sometimes we're sick, right? We're ill. And most times we get better, but sometimes there's a bad diagnosis. I don't think there's any family here that hasn't been touched by a bad diagnosis. Of course, the worst of all is hearing you have a disease and there's no cure for it. Isn't that true? Some of you here have had bouts with cancer. I know that. And some of us have had other bouts with other things. But when a doctor says there's nothing more we can do for you, that's pretty final, isn't it? Well, the thing is, and this is no fault of the doc, by the way. I mean, this is just the way things are. But he gives you his condolences. He sends you home or to the hospital. But somehow he never forgets the bill. No knock, doc. No knock here. Somehow he never forgets the bill. So not only do you have anxiety about you know, this disease that is in your body, but he sends you the bill. If you don't die from the disease, you die from the heart attack and the bill. So how do you feel? You know, would you feel hopeless, defeated, anxious, discouraged? I mean, those are all normal feelings, you know, that we battle with. Now, why would I even bring this up in light of Leviticus 14? Leviticus 14 deals primarily with the skin disease of leprosy. All right. Leprosy in the day of Leviticus was a terminal disease. There was no cure for leprosy. In fact, people of the day would say if the disease was cured, it would take a miracle from God to cure the disease. Well, the truth of the matter is that we are all born with a terminal disease, aren't we? We're all born with it. It's called, depending on your church tradition, it's called original sin, right? It's that rebellious nature that we're all born with, not to do what pleases God, but what pleases us. And the Bible says that's a terminal disease. If there's no miracle, why is it terminal? Well, in Romans 6:23, do I have that there, Emily? In Romans 6:23, I just want to frame this out for you before I get in the passage. I'm not making this up. This comes from Paul as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, for the wages of sin is what? That sounds pretty terminal, right? That spiritual death and also physical death. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, they were never intended to physically die. And when they grow old, they wouldn't grow old with disease, right? They were intended to live forever, but it was the rebellion of Adam that brought disease into the world. You all know that. And the wages of that is not only physical death, but spiritual death. But here's the hope. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we're going to unpack this from Leviticus in a minute. And I want you to stay with me on this because my fear is, I know a lot of you for a long time, okay? My fear is sometimes we lose the wonder of this all. We forget that every one of us has been born with a terminal disease and that it takes a miracle of God to cure that disease. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, we become so complacent and so lazy in this, we start to lose the wonder, and everything else suffers. The song that you sang before, God of Wonders, that was the wonders of the universe. If you remember, during one of the space missions, that was a song used to wake up the astronauts, and they requested it because they couldn't believe what they were seeing out their windows, the creation of God. And it was just awesome for them. Now, listen, as a pastor, I'm going to be very honest with you. What keeps me going is seeing the miracles that God has done in your lives through his grace, through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I continually have to say the God of wonders because he still does miracles. I need to believe that. Otherwise, I shouldn't even show up here on Sunday. The only cure is the great physician and what he did for us on the cross. In fact, he took our disease on the cross. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Would you read with me just from a couple of verses in Leviticus, and we'll kind of unpack this together. Starting at verse 1. Said, the Lord said to Moses. This is the Lord speaking, okay? So let's get that in perspective. These are the regulations for any diseases a person at the time of their ceremonial cleanness when they are brought to the priest. The priest, who was the medical examiner back then, okay, is to go outside the camp and examine them. He's making a house call. That's what he's doing. He's making a house call. If you had a disease that was considered contagious and very dangerous, you had to go outside the city, and the priest had to make a house call. And it says if they've been healed of that defiling skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought to the person to be cleansed. I want to stop there for a second. All right? He's saying, Pastor, what does this all have to do? It has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. The priest made a house call. You realize that when you and I came to know Christ, we all realized that it wasn't us who was seeking him, but he came seeking us. Can we say amen to that? How many of you can remember where you were when you received Jesus Christ by faith? How many of you can remember? Okay? He made a house call that day. Whether you were in the house, whether you were in church, whether you were in office, and he was coming after you because he loves you. And so it is one of those things that we can say, the priest, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, came after me and made a house call. Not only did he make the house call, but it was free of charge. Right? It was free of charge. I want you to consider for a moment the magnitude of this. He seeks those who are ill. It's me. Jesus himself said, I come for who? Not for the healthy or those who think they're healthy, but I come for the lost, the ones who are ill. That's me. Did you ever see the game show To Tell the Truth? Okay. If I were to ask, you know, who is the one that needs the Savior, would you please stand up? Would you stand? And we need the great physician because we are all terminally ill. look who he came after. He came after the outcast. Always came after the outcast. The ones nobody wanted anything to do with. He came after the disenfranchised. You know what disenfranchised means? The ones who are fed up with the establishment. The ones that are fed up with church. And when I say church, I'm talking about meaningless religion. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Christianity is God's attempt to reach man. It's a big difference. Not only did he come for those who were outcast and disenfranchised, he came for the broken. He came for the broken. I have to ask the question at this point, because scripturally speaking, we are told that we are the body of Christ. He is ascended into his Father. We realize that through the Spirit of God, God is all present and he's here right now. Jesus Christ is here right now in spirit. But the Bible is clear, we are his body here on earth. So the question I have to ask his body today is, why aren't we going after the people that Jesus went after? Why aren't we attractive to people who are outcasts, who have been disenfranchised, who are broken? And one of the reasons for that, I think, is because we forget our own experience. I can tell you firsthand, I believe it was not for the intervention of Christ in my life, I would not be here today. Either as a pastor or perhaps physically be here today. Now, some of you may not have had that type of dramatic conversion. I don't know. I mean, that's between you and God. But I want you to catch the seriousness of this, because it is so, so important. Bring a friend Sunday. Bring a friend. What's the worst they can do? Invite them, they can say no. Or they may surprise you, say yes. And they may hear something that Jesus wants them to hear. And it may be that you are part of the process of letting people know how much Jesus loves them, because he's there for them. The other thing I see here, well, let me finish the verses for you, and then we'll go into more detail. It says, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought to the person to be cleansed. And you say, geez, that's odd. That's odd, right? Two live birds. The hyssop, I would say, is probably a reference back to the Passover, when they had to sprinkle blood on the top and the sides of the door. And the scarlet yarn, what do you think the scarlet yarn is symbolic of? No, sin. Sin. Okay. And so, it says, then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water. I want you to get this in your mind, in a clay pot. He's then to take the live bird, dip it together with cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop into the blood of that bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times. Seven is a symbol of perfection in the scriptures. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease and then pronounce them clean after he has released the live bird into the open field. What do you think this points to? What do you think this points to? Well, the resurrection of Christ, right? But the blood of Christ also, right? The priest was supposed to seven times anoint with the blood in a special way so that they can be pronounced clean. And then what? Release the live bird. What's the live bird representative of? New life. New life. Okay. So, Here's what I want you to get out of this. Our sin creates an infinite debt that we owe God. That illness creates an infinite debt that we owe God. There's no way you and I can repay it. No amount of good works, no amount of going to church, no amount of helping old ladies across the street or, you know, anything like that could ever make up for this, the debt of sin that we owe to God. The payment for our debt is death. That's what the Bible says. Of a fully acceptable sacrifice that God requires. Here he uses the two birds. One of them using the symbol of death and the blood, and the other one a symbol of the resurrection. And then the payment is made by the great physician himself on our behalf. He died for the death we deserve because of our sin. Well, I should get an amen on that. He died the death we deserve. And his motive was love. There's a PowerPoint graphic up there. Could you put it up? Perhaps if I illustrate this, this makes this a little bit better to understand. We'll get there. Techno demons. It's not working, Joe? Yeah. Listen, it's not working. It's because Satan doesn't want you to see this. I'm convinced of it. The theologians of old called this the great transaction. This is the greatest transaction in the universe. We think so much of having money in the bank and all of this. Nothing wrong with having money in the bank. And we think when we say transactions, we always think about finances. But we very rarely think about this. This is the great transaction of grace. This is a transaction you and I don't deserve. This is a transaction that was only won by the cross of Christ for us in our place. And so here's the way it goes. You see the cross, correct? Okay, I can do that, right? There we go. People. I think we're people, right? We are people who have a problem. We have an incurable disease called sin, right? Jesus Christ, the perfect one, fully God, fully human, the perfect sacrifice to make atonement for your sin and mine. We have sin, guilt, and shame to our credit. The moment we're born, we have sin, guilt, and shame to our credit. Jesus, in his account, has righteousness, his righteousness, the righteousness of God himself. There's a great transaction here. The moment a person in faith and simple repentance says, Lord, I'm tired of going to what direction I'm going. Jesus, I know you died for me personally, took my punishment on the cross. You took the full wrath that I deserve for my sin on the cross. And here's the transaction that happens. Jesus' righteousness is then put to our account. And Jesus takes on our sin, our guilt, in our shame. I would say we got the better end of that. Would you? Act like it. Act like it. Rejoice in it. Okay? I mean, I've used this illustration many times. If you, for those of you who have a mortgage, if you went home and found out somebody paid off your mortgage, you'd be doing cartwheels on Route 9. This is infinitely more than a mortgage. This is the great transaction. This is not original with me. This is original with the Puritans, by the way. And so, just to outline it, Jesus takes on our guilt, our sin, and shame, and he gives to us. Oops, or sorry, I've got ahead of myself here. I can't get it back. But he imparts to us his righteousness, forgiveness, adoption into the family of God. all the things you and I don't deserve. But he won them for us because he loves us. If you look at verses 8 and 9, let's go back to the passage. If you look at verses 8 and 9 with me real quick. Are we there yet? Okay. Verses 8 and 9. It says, the person to be cleansed must wash their clothes, shave off all their hair. Please don't do that, okay? Some of you have done it already, but please don't do that. Shave off all their hair, bathe in water, then they will be ceremonial clean. After this, they may come into the camp, but they must stay outside their tent for 7 days, and it goes on from there. Now listen, only a miracle can cure leprosy. Only a miracle can cure our sin problem. The great physician performs a miracle in the heart of a person at the moment they put their faith in him. We are pronounced clean, holy, a new creation, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not the blood of a bird, but the blood of the Lamb. Raised up in new life, just like that bird that flew away. We are free for the first time to obey Jesus Christ. That's freedom. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what anybody else says. And you know, this whole business about washing and, you know, the clothes and all. Let me apply it to you this way. The great physician, Jesus, helps us to stay spiritually healthy. He gives us his word, the Bible. He gives us the Holy Spirit. The moment we trust in Christ, you and I receive the Holy Spirit. And that it is the Holy Spirit who makes the word come alive for us. So we can start to understand it and apply it to our lives and let Jesus start the transformation process of the from the inside out to make us more like him each and every day. He gives us the church to be his body, to go out with love and proclaim the cure for the terminal disease of sin. How would you feel if you found out a doctor came up with a cure for cancer and kept it to himself? Wouldn't that be cruel? How would you feel if a doctor came up with a cure for cancer and shared it with the pharmaceutical companies and they decided not to put it on the market? Wouldn't that be cruel? Listen to me. This is greater than even that. We have the best news in the world. We have the great physician who cured us. All you would need to do is earn the right and build relationships with other people so you can earn the right to share your story with them. To say, you know what? I was sick. Let me tell you what God did for me. I wasn't physically sick. I'm spiritually sick. And let me tell you what God did for me. Your story is your story. Nobody can disprove it. Isn't that true? Why are we so hesitant to tell our stories? Every one of you has a great story to tell. We don't badger people over the head with it. We don't bring the Bible and start pointing verses and slamming them with verses. We simply build relationships of love to know that they know we care about them to earn the right for them to listen to our story. He gives us worship, individual and corporate worship, so we can come and declare the praises of God. Forgive me if I'm too strong on this. Every time a person stays away from church is a declaration that church doesn't matter. And the reason why I say that is this. When a church gets together and praises God, it's a testimony to the world. When we come together corporately and we sing. I don't care who's in the gym. I don't care who's at Dewey's. I don't care who's in the parking lot. When the weather gets nicer, we'll open the doors. It's a testimony that God still does miracles in Jesus Christ. It's a testimony that the people of God can sing, even though they have horrible voices. And to God, it's joyous. It is joyous. You know what else is a testimony? You and I know a lot of people out there, hopefully. And you know what they're going to say? God saved him? Wow. Well, I used to know him or her when they used to come home drunk. I used to know him when he was a crooked businessman. You know, what changed? He's in church? I always told you church is for hypocrites. Amen. And yet Jesus came after us. He gives us prayer. This is all for our cleansing and staying spiritually healthy. He gives us confession and repentance. My fear as a pastor is that we start taking for granted what Jesus has done for us. We sang this morning, for all you've done. It's not just providing the car or the house or anything. It starts with the cross. That's where it starts. Do you realize the only cure for our terminal disease of sin is the cross of Jesus Christ? For those who are followers of Christ, it's imperative that you and I build relationships with people to earn the opportunity to tell them the good news. It's imperative. It's not an option. It's imperative. What did Jesus say? Go into your world and make disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have taught you. The good news is the cure for our terminal disease is free. Jesus paid the bill. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you knew you needed a surgery to get well again, and instead of worrying about the bill, somebody else paid it for you? How much more Jesus paid the price? He paid the bill, the entire bill, once and for all. I don't know about you. I get frustrated because sometimes in battling the health insurance stuff, you know, you go to the doctor, they take a copay, and then you get, or they do a procedure, then you get what's called an EOB, right? And the EOB comes with a surprise. Guess what? We didn't pay the rest, right? Listen, for me, it is good for me to know that when I look at the cross, I know my debt has been paid in full once and for all. I'm not going to get a surprise notice from God. I'm not going to get any surprises come judgment day. The entrance for me was paved by Jesus Christ and him alone, because my debt was paid in full. It's been paid with the blood of Christ. Listen, we got a lot of things coming up. We have Bring a Friend Sunday. We have the beginning of Sunday school. We have the Coke giveaway. I'm going to need a lot of help for all of those. But the biggest thing we can do is invite a friend now. In love. We don't make people targets, but at least they can come to a place where they hear Jesus loves them. We're in a world that I perceive, and if I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected. We're in a world where I perceive that hopelessness is gaining. People need hope. And that hope is only through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'll ask the praise people to come up.